Well, so I'm Sue Hovorka. I came to UT in 1975, and I've stayed here almost all of my professional career. Why? I just thrive at UT. It's always offered these opportunities, so I've thought about leaving and briefly gone here and there for this and that, and I always end up that the best door with the best things on the other side has been at UT, which is why I've been here my whole time. So I work now at the Bureau of Economic Geology, and I write big grants, and which is a lot of fun. I write big grants to do whatever I want to do, which is what every researcher, if you're a research-based person, this is what you want. And UT is an inspirational place to write big grants. Jackson School is incredibly supportive, but the Bureau is, in my opinion, perfect as a place to grant grants from. But I thought I'd tell you about a story about when I used to be young and foolish. Now I'm older and somewhat less foolish, but the story about when I was young and a student. When I was an undergraduate, I was at Earlham College in Richmond, Indiana. We had a geology department of 2.5 people. And I fell in love with the Bob Folks Orange book that was published at Hemphill Engineering, Hemphill Bookstore on the Drag. It's orange on the cover. And it's been one of the inspirations of my life, actually. And I had so many library finds on it as an undergraduate that I kind of decided I had to go to UT just to save library finds a little bit. You know how when you're very young, you make these decisions on rather thin information? So I came here to be a student of Bob Folks so that I could buy his book at Hemphill's. I had a great career as a grad student, but it had its down moments. The first is I arrived and they said, what is this transcript from this strange college that you went to? It doesn't look like ours. I think you have to take field camp. So I said, okay, I'll take field camp. Go on 660, which at that time was in the Marathon Basin. And I was a little miffed because I did have a lot of field camp experience. It just wasn't racked up in the way that was expected in geosciences. So I went on field camp with Bill Mulberger, which is another story. I won't talk about that, except that when I got there, I was a sedimentologist, and we were mostly looking at structure. And so I wanted to look at the sedimentology inside the Caballos Formation, inside of the bedded cherts and shales. And which wasn't what we were supposed to be doing. We were supposed to be mapping the main units, which were, to me, glaringly obvious. And I wanted to map these little units, so I was doing all these subfolds, following tracing beds. And Bill Mulberger said, what the heck are you doing? You know, and I said, I'm doing great science. And he said, cut it out. No, I said, you look young, you look foolish. So then I wanted to do a master's thesis to prove myself right. So I went to, I knew that Folk and McBride were having this debate about the depth of water and deposition of the Marathon Basin of the Caballos Formation. And I said I wanted to work on the stratigraphy of the Caballos Formation. So Folk, who I've always adored, but he's always unexpected. He marched me over, like kind of frog marched me over to McBride and said, McBride, we have one. And they sent me out to work on depth of the church there. And Folk, my supervisor's opinion was that it was shallow water and that maybe the beds had microbes in them and there were soils. And I was collecting data that they weren't, basically. I was a little shamefaced to be arguing with my professor, right, that saying everything here is deep. And I had this outcrop that I felt was totally compelling. Up this canyon, you know, turned down this dirt road through this fence, and you went up this canyon in the ranches. And he came out to visit me for a day, taking him to this outcrop that's going to convince him totally. And I went down one through the fence, up one dirt road, up one canyon, wasn't there. Back out, up another dirt road, up another canyon, behind another fence line. This is the one that's really going to explain everything. When you see this outcrop, you're going to believe me. And he started saying honk honk, and which is a typical Folk thing to say. Instead of a sentence, he would say honk honk, and I'd say, what is this? And he'd say, wild goose chase. So that was my story about the He was incredibly gracious and supportive, and you know, if I came back and did isotopes on it just to back my story up that this was deep water. I lay on the basement floor here, chipping about chert, which is hard. It had all this fine zonation, and we didn't have fancy stuff in those days before the Jackson School. We had great equipment, but it wasn't like now, so there weren't any drills or anything. I'm lying on the floor with tracking things with a hammer, trying to break them into tiny, tiny pieces so that Linton Land, who was a young professor here, then could do the oxygen isotopes for me and get temperature. And I got the data back, and it plotted like a straight line. All these things that I had split carefully were all the same. And I took them to both of them and said, you know, couldn't figure out what to do, despair, and they looked at it and said, it means it's in the deep water, it's cold, you know, so you're going to have to confess that you're right, that you're proving your professor wrong, and you're going to have to live with it, that's where you are. So it set me on a path to always be difficult to do research, and it's just come out very well for me.
Loved it.
Is that the story you wanted?
It's great. It was fantastic.